Members, I'm not going to wait for the technical upgrade. So in a minute here, I'll give him one more minute, and then we're going to get started, because I believe Deed has included a copy of the PowerPoint in the package. But prior to that, I know, Representative Gunther, you've looked at the minutes from April 4th, and would you care to move them?
I would be happy to move the minutes of April 4th.
Any additions or corrections to the minutes from April 4th? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. The minutes have been approved. And for the committee members, we, since we last met, Ron Soderberg has retired after so many years. After so many years of writing the Jobs and Economic Development Bill. He will be missed, but we have a very good replacement for him. Now, I've got her first name down, but I'm so bad with last names, I'm going to ask Harriet to introduce herself.
Thank you. My name is Harriet Hendricks, and so I'm new with the Fiscal Analysis Department, and I look forward to working with you all.
And having met with her once or twice already, and accolades she's gotten already, we will hopefully still miss Ron, but not business-wise will we miss him. So, having said all that, we have on the agenda an overview and an update on the Department of Employment and Economic Development on the Minnesota Investment Fund, Job Creation Fund, and the Angel Investment Tax Credit. And I believe the commissioner is here for this one. Yeah. We have some testifiers, so I'm going to ask that we allow the commissioner to get through each one of the reports. So Minnesota Investment Fund, and if you got some questions, then ask them once she's through the report. Then we'll start on the job creation, and then we'll go to ask some questions and go to the Angel Investment Tax Credit. So unless there's any other business, commissioner. Did I invite you up? Good afternoon, Commissioner, and welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Good to see all of you again. So this afternoon, as the Chair mentioned, we will be providing an update on the Minnesota Investment Fund, the new Minnesota Job Creation Fund, as well as the Angel Tax Credit Program. I look forward to the discussion today, and I thought what we could do just to begin is a brief, short introduction to the work that we do at Deed. For over 150 years, Minnesota has been building on a culture of excellence, and we've long been a national economic leader, fueled by innovators, big ideas, an unmatched quality of life, and a hardworking, highly educated workforce. First off, Deed is the agency that tracks all of the labor market information to give a comprehensive look at Minnesota's economy and workforce. The data shows that our economy is recovering well from the recession. Minnesota recently attained pre-recessionary levels of employment, a major milestone, and we are one of only 18 states to do so. Our unemployment rate of 4.6% is among the lowest in the country. First-time applications for unemployment benefits continue to drop, and job vacancies are increasing to record levels. Over 133,000 jobs have been created since the beginning of 2011. Additionally, Minnesota's gross domestic product, the total value of goods and services produced by our economy, had the fifth fastest growth rate in 2012. Forbes magazine listed us the eighth best state for business, and we jumped 12 spots in that list, which was the largest jump of any state. And we also recently ranked fifth in Gallup's Job Creation Index, a measure of net hiring determined by talking to full-time U.S. workers about their employers' workforce. This success today in the past and is not by accident. The question before us today is how do we continue that momentum as we move forward? When companies outside of Minnesota are looking to expand or relocate their business, Minnesota is often on the short list because we have what every company needs, a productive workforce. While we have a highly educated and motivated workforce, we are facing real challenges, not unlike the national landscape, that if left unaddressed, will put our economic competitiveness at risk. DEED's Workforce Development Division works closely with businesses, higher education institutions, our K-12 schools, and other partners to create a network in building the world's best workforce. Our workforce development programs are ensuring that Minnesotans with barriers to employment and populations affected by disparities are receiving the training and support they need to find a job and increase their skills and abilities. And the other side of our organization, our Economic Development Division, is focused on making, in addition to workforce, is focused on making sure Minnesota is always a place that Minnesota businesses can thrive and grow. And we are seeing the fruits of that labor every day as we welcome new companies to the state and help existing businesses expand and add new jobs. We're helping communities across the state redevelop blighted sites and realize new opportunities for jobs and economic growth. We provide resources to those who need assistance with starting a business, finding workers, managing a business, exporting and trade, and financing a business. Sometimes businesses that are already in Minnesota need help from DEED to expand. And we've seen many recent examples. Our business development team is the busiest they've been in quite some time, thanks to all of your support with $30 million for the Minnesota Investment Fund, as well as the new Minnesota Job Creation Fund that we launched on January 1st. And before I dive into the programs, I just would like to describe the process that that team goes through in helping to recruit these company expansions to happen here in Minnesota. This is not a quick process. Typically, these conversations with companies expand months and often sometimes years, where we are in discussions with a company talking about what their needs are and if there are ways that DEED can assist to try to encourage that expansion to come here. One example that I would just like to highlight, and I can't name the company name, but it's a company that's looking to expand. It's a global company, and they are aware that their headquarters, which is based outside of the United States, will soon be choosing a location in the United States for them to expand. The employees that work in Minnesota at this business are doing everything they can to make sure that Minnesota is the location that is selected for this most recent expansion. So we had multiple talks with them about what their needs are, how do we make sure that we show that the property in which that business is located is prime and ready for development. And we talk about programs like the Minnesota Investment Fund and the Minnesota Job Creation Fund, which can help them compete when other states are also competing for that expansion. When states are putting forth an aggressive package, we need to show that Minnesota has some sort of economic development tools that we can also offer. So we're hopeful that that expansion will happen here, but I just want to recognize our business and community development team for the fantastic work that they do every day in talking with companies across the state and from outside our state and having these negotiations happen. So the committee asks that I provide updates on our three key economic development tools. Thank you for the recent investment that you made in the Minnesota Investment Fund, $30 million in ongoing funding, $24 million in our new Minnesota Job Creation Fund, which is already off to a great start. It was just launched January 1st, but we're already seeing lots of activity, as well as the Angel Tax Credit Program, which received $12 million in credits for this fiscal year. And while these are significant investments in economic development, I'd also just like to remind the committee that these are modest compared to what many states have in their economic development toolbox. We are competing with states like Texas with a $200 million fund every day for these expansions. So we are very grateful to have these tools in place. So we'll start today with the Minnesota Investment Fund. And a nice photo of Representative Lohmer up in the presentation at the Valley Cartage ribbon cutting that happened over this past year in Lake Elmo. So Minnesota Investment Fund, commonly known as MIF, it's our primary economic development tool to attract and retain high-quality jobs statewide. The legislature appropriated $30 million for the current biennium and $15 million in low-interest loans available annually. companies are eligible for up to a $1 million award in funding. However, DEED is very conservative in how we limit these awards. We are taking a look at what cities are offering, what counties might be offering, and we look at that total package when deciding what is the appropriate amount to offer a company, as well as what are the competitive packages that that company already has. The program provides financing that creates and retains high-quality jobs with a focus on industrial, manufacturing, and technology-related industries to increase the local and state tax base and improve the economic vitality for Minnesota citizens. All projects must meet minimum requirements for private investments, jobs created, and wages paid. And we fund only the most competitive projects. Participating businesses must create or retain a minimum number of jobs established in the business subsidy agreement that we write with them within a two-year period. Required wage levels depend on location in the state. Nearly all jobs pay in excess of $13 an hour, with some as high as $25 to $30 per hour. And in most cases, we partner with cities, counties, economic development, public-private organizations across the state in attracting these companies and look at that total package of what a company is offered. At least 50% of total project costs must be privately financed, though usually private financing is even higher in these projects. In order to be considered for MIF funds, projects must meet certain evaluation standards. So some of these are, will the project create new jobs, retain existing jobs, or improve the quality of the existing jobs? Will the project increase the tax base? Will the project lead to higher wages and add to the current workforce skills? Will the project support microenterprises or the green economy? Will the project retain a business or attract an out-of-state business to the state? Will public dollars induce private funds? And are infrastructure and improvement costs beyond the means of relevant community and private partnerships? If a business meets the criteria and the funds are available, DEED provides a loan to that business. DEED takes a number of additional steps to ensure that funds are accountable and transparent for Minnesota taxpayers, including developing a business subsidy agreement with specific completion dates for the project, allowable uses of funds, and other performance requirements, monitoring performance through the course of the agreement, and recovering any program funds if they are improperly used or if a business otherwise violates the business subsidy agreement. We work closely with local governments to ensure their support of a project before offering any funds, and these local governments often have their own accountability measures. And I'd like to provide just a snapshot of our Minnesota Investment Awards from the past few years. You'll see that since July 1st, with the new $30 million appropriation, we've already distributed $5.2 million of MIF to companies and have attracted $200 million in private financing as a result of that $5.2 million being distributed. So we're already seeing some fantastic results. And I'd like to highlight just a few of the incredibly exciting expansions that we've seen as a result of MIF. These are just a few. There is a much longer list than what we are talking about and sharing today. But some of the recent expansions, Olympus was one. Olympus is a leader in designing and delivering innovative solutions in medical and surgical products. The company is building a state-of-the-art research and development and manufacturing facility in Brooklyn Park that will bring medical professionals from all over the world to our state. They're using that facility as a training facility as well, so there'll be lots of traffic back and forth. Olympus received a $1 million loan from DEED, from the MIF Fund, and the city is in process of applying for another $250,000 in funding for infrastructure improvements at the site. This project resulted in a $37 million investment in a 180,000 square foot facility, 100 jobs created, and 265 jobs retained. It's a fantastic project. I was at the groundbreaking. It was absolutely freezing. We were under a tent, and it was about 10 below zero, but the construction was already underway and still happening despite the cold weather in Minnesota. Price Mechanical is a manufacturer based out of Winnipeg, Canada. The company announced that it will open a $4 million research facility in Maple Grove for its customized heating, ventilation, and air conditioning products. This was 40 new jobs with average wages of $80,000. And these are the type of high-wage jobs that we are looking to attract here to Minnesota through this program. And the Star Tribune recently noted that one of the reasons why we were chosen is that it's a testament to the strength of Minnesota manufacturing. And Deed helped this project to come to fruition with a $700,000 MIF loan. They've also publicly stated that they are there'll be a phase two of this project, and so we are continuing to talk with them on trying to recruit phase two of that project to Minnesota as well. Shutterfly, which I think you probably all heard about because this one made the news in a big way, an internet-based image publishing service based in Redwood City, California. The governor himself flew out to meet with the CEO and received the good news that Shutterfly had chosen Minnesota amongst some other Midwestern competitors that we were up against. Deed provided a $1 million MIF loan to Shutterfly to support 1,000 new full-time and part-time jobs at this facility in Shakopee. Tata, Deed provided the company with a $500,000 MIF loan, which created 150 jobs and expanded its operations in Bloomington. And then I'll quickly highlight Emerson as well. $500,000 MIF loan, $400,000 in Minnesota Job Skills Partnership, and $1.2 million in infrastructure grants. Emerson is a worldwide supplier of process automation services and technologies. It's spending $7 million on an expansion in Shakopee and will bring 500 new manufacturing jobs to the state. The groundbreaking is in May of 2014, and we're very grateful for that expansion. In addition, so those were the metro projects that we wanted to highlight, Greater Minnesota projects. A MIF loan helped Chart Industries to create 100 new jobs in Owatonna, Minnesota, that pay between $15 to $22 per hour at a new 141,000 square foot facility. Sage, a $1 million MIF award from Deed, helped create this new expansion in Faribault, Minnesota, and spur investment in a $110 million manufacturing facility. Sage is a specialized window glass developer. Lewis Industries received an $80,000 MIF loan. Lewis Industries is a high-tech steel processing facility in Painesville, Minnesota. This was a $3.2 million project. New Flyer, which I know many of you are familiar with, major New Flyer expansion in St. Cloud was supported by $1 million of MIF. It's a bus manufacturer in North America, and this was for their most recent bus prototype. $5 million project and 136 new jobs in St. Cloud. And Altec, most recent expansion in Duluth, was worth $1 million and added 85 jobs and received a $250,000 MIF loan. That company manufactures bucket lift devices that are mounted on trucks and used by utility companies. Gearinghof, which I think is a fantastic story. This is a German manufacturer that was looking at where they should locate their North American headquarters, and they explored St. Cloud and liked what they saw. They received a $500,000 MIF loan. The project will create over 100 jobs in the first phase, and it's $20 million private investment on behalf of Gearinghof in this new facility. And this is a great example. Gearinghof is a great example of how it takes Deed and all of our partners working together to make these projects happen. One of the when I talked with Gearinghof, one of the things that influenced them in the decision, it was the MIF loan. It was the highly educated workforce that occurs in St. Cloud, and then there were also the personal touches of the mayor of St. Cloud being able to speak German and sharing some cultural competencies and that really went a long way in developing those relationships. And so it does take all of us working together at the state and local level to make these projects happen. And then AGCO has received a few MIF loans. And the most recent one in 2011, they received $500,000 of MIF for 100 jobs. Which is, again, a fantastic story. I recently visited with Representative Gunther in Jackson, Minnesota, and it's a thriving company. At this point in time, I would like to invite Tom Becker, the president and COO of WFSI. He drove from Sauk Rapids, Minnesota, to be here with us today. So thank you for doing so. His company received a MIF award, and I'd like to give him a chance to tell you a little bit more about it.
Thank you, Commissioner. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Becker. Please identify yourself for the tape and proceed.
I'm Tom Becker. I'm the president and COO of WFSI, Inc. And, Mr. Chairman, I'm delighted to be here today and thank all of you for the award, which we actually have two awards from DEED this year. And it's been very helpful to our business. So, again, thank you to you and the committee. As a little history, the W.F. Scarron's Company was founded in 1983 by William Scarron's, and Bill was a welding engineer and decided to open a weld shop providing critical welding to customers in the oil and gas, power generation, military, and industrial markets. So that was his niche of operation. And the company very quickly developed a strong reputation for accommodating very complex products and projects with unique welding techniques that Bill developed. But over the years, he remained a very small organization with a maximum number of people at 34 and hitting $5.8 million in sales in 2012. As Bill had grown into his mid-70s, he began looking for a buyer for his company, and in early 2013, he found a group that satisfied his requirements, which were to remain in the local Sauk Rapids area and to continue the advancement of the welding technology that he had pioneered. In April 1st of 2013, Bill sold the company to a group of four people, and that new group of owners, also from the Sauk Rapids area, wanted to both leverage the value of the former WFSI organization, but really to also better satisfy the growing needs of its customers, would embark on a substantial growth program over the next few years. To facilitate that objective of growth, the WFSI organization first moved from an 8,000 square foot facility to a new home. We currently are in a 140,000 square foot facility. But we also needed to add equipment and personnel to accommodate the heavier workload. So WFSI looked to DEED to assist them with those initiatives and essentially to turn the company into a secure and sustainable business in central Minnesota for the long-term future. Earlier in 2013, WFSI was pleased to receive two DEED awards, the first being a $200,000 loan through the Minnesota Investment Fund, and that assisted with the purchase of some of the initial needed production equipment. WFSI also took out some commercial loans in addition to purchase another $620,000 worth of the necessary equipment. In that sense, the DEED loan amounted to approximately 25% of the total initial capital that was needed to drive the company into its current form and allow it to accept the kind of growth that it was projecting. Today, the business stands at just under $1 million in total capital investment. So it's continued to invest over the last few months as well. Additionally, we received later in the year, a $300,000 grant through MJSP in conjunction with St. Cloud Technical College to facilitate the training of personnel, because even with new equipment and more equipment, we still needed very highly trained and skilled personnel. And our welders are folks that come out of technical schools and other forms of industry, but then have to be trained to get to a much higher level. Previously, at the W.F. Skerens Company, Bill did a lot of his own training and brought people along at a very slow pace. To meet our growth objectives, we had to accelerate this, and this grant allowed us to install a training center within our own facility, work with St. Cloud Technical Community College to essentially borrow one of their instructors who has helped us with curriculum development and also does some of the teaching along with our own weld instructors who are in our teaching. And we're processing about four candidates every 6 weeks. By the end of 2013, and this is really the first 9 months in business as WFSI, revenues had grown to $9.1 million, so that was 57% growth year on year, and had increased its staff to 54 permanent plus 18 temporary personnel, so a total of 72 people in total, which was an 111,000 percent growth year on year. For 2014, WFSI plans to increase revenues to $15 million and currently has 61 permanent employees plus 21 temporary. And by year end, we project having 79 permanent plus 18 temporary for a total of 97, or about 35% growth year on year for this year as well. And we continue to see that growth trend continuing for the next 5 to 7 years. We're seeing a lot of demand for our services through, again, the oil and gas, the power generation, and tanks and pressure vessels market, and don't see that trend changing for at least the 5 to 7 year period. So the DEED programs have been a great benefit to WFSI in support of the necessary funding for the additional skilled personnel and equipment needed to attain the growth that has occurred and is also planned for the future. And we are very thankful for the two awards. So again, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Becker. And if you stick around, we'll let the commissioner finish, and if there's a question for you,
be happy to answer that.
Great. I think she's only got one more slide for this particular group.
Correct. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. So as we heard from Mr. Becker, the Minnesota Investment Fund has had an incredible impact statewide. Over the last 10 years, 82% of the projects funded through MIF have been in greater Minnesota, and we've seen much growth in that part of our state, and we expect to see continued strong interest in this part of our state from site selectors in the years to come, and we'll work closely with local governments and partner organizations to make our resources available. Whether in greater Minnesota or the metro, this program gets a great return on investment for Minnesotans. For every $1 in committed funding, we've leveraged over $33 in investments in MIF. And at this point, we'll open for questions, I think.
Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this was the program where you said you do green, there's a part that has to do with green jobs, is that right? Can you explain what you mean by that, or describe what that, or define what that means?
Well, that's one industry that we look to in MIF, and that we are looking to grow across the state are companies that would fall under the green industry, so clean energy as one example. But this is, it's not an industry-specific program. We've supported many industries through the MIF program.
Hello?
Mr. Chairman, I think, unless I'm mistaken, I think that was one of the things that a business gets points for, though, right? I mean, it helps if they're doing that kind of work.
Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, that is something that we seek out in with MIF funds.
I applaud you for that. I just wanted to know what the what the definition was. And, okay, thank you.
Representative Uglum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, you touched a little bit on the Olympus project there, and that's right in my backyard in Brooklyn Park. The completion of, well, the extension of Highway 610 and the upcoming completion of Highway 610 played a very important role in their location. Do you find throughout the state transportation infrastructure, how are we keeping up with that, and are there any other key areas that we should be concentrating on?
Mm-hmm. Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, Representative, our transportation networks are absolutely a key part to driving economic continued economic growth across the state. And DEED does work very closely with MnDOT, particularly on our TED program, the Transportation and Economic Development Program, where in the case of a business expansion that needs to have an upgrade to a highway in order to expand, that program has funding available that can be utilized to make sure that expansion happens. We recently, about 6 months ago, we invited site selectors from various communities in the United States to come into Minnesota for a three-day period. We sent them each out to a different region in the state and had local partners tour them around, you know, give them a look at what they saw in the community, and then we pulled them back together and had all of our economic development partners from across the state in the same room and heard their feedback on what do they see compared to what they see in other states. What are our strengths, and what do we need to continue to remain focused on to drive economic growth? One thing that the site selector mentioned is they thought we had very strong transportation networks in the state, to which some of the economic developers in the room were surprised that was highlighted in the report. But from that particular person's perspective, we do have strong networks in the state. We know that necessary investments in infrastructure are absolutely needed in order to continue driving economic growth across the state, and it's something that we need to remain focused on in order to stay competitive.
And follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Newton and I were at a seminar here just recently about the Highway 10 corridor, mm-hmm. and some of the local businesses and cities were very concerned because they've had people actually turn them down for locations, because hard as it is to believe, the Highway 10 corridor through Coon Rapids and Anoka and Ramsey actually carries more traffic than 35W does in certain sections. So I hope that we can repeat the success that we had with 610, maybe not quite as long, and improve some of that, because I think there's a lot of opportunity up in that area. Thank you.
Commissioner, I'm next in the list. I will, that would be a bonding request within the TED, for TED, so I'm sure you'll be looking at a vote on the bonding bill. Commissioner, and actually I don't have a question for the commissioner. I have a number of them, but I'm going to focus in on Mr. Becker, because we've got a couple other things to get to today. Just in terms of your welders, Mr. Becker, what's their average wage on your welders?
Well, we have four classifications of our welders. They start out at about $18 an hour as trainees, and then they move into a production mode at very close to $23 per hour, and they would max out today at the upper level grade at $28 per hour. And we've got a few of our lead men and supervisors in that go even higher than that. We allow all of our folks to participate in the training center that is open to them after hours, and in so doing they can increase their qualifications, and by doing so move up into the next category of pay scale as well. So we're not basing the pay scale grouping on the level of business that we have, but rather on just qualifications. And we would be delighted to have all of our people at the top level because that gives us maximum flexibility in terms of which jobs we can take and when we can process those.
I would suspect you're having less of a problem with the skills gap than others that aren't paying 18 living wage jobs. So, now you said you did tanks and oil industry facilitation, process piping?
We do not really the process piping, but we do some piping for a industrial company, Loram, and that piping goes into their products. We do put piping inside of the tanks, which many of which fill out to the Bakken oil range, mm-hmm. And are used there for the separation and initial treatment of the oil as it comes out of the ground. So we do some piping, but mostly the pressure vessels with the associated piping. In regard to the oil and gas industry, we work both in the subsea market as well as the land market. One of the things that we produce are components on the blowout protectors that essentially hardens those areas and makes them more durable. So we make blowout preventers both for subsea and for the on land oil rigs, and do a great deal of that right now.
I have one other question, then I think we're going to try and move on because we have two other things we're trying to get to today. And it's really, I know there's another company that does not quite the same, but somewhat similar up in St. Cloud, unless you bought them out. Is there starting to become somewhat of a bit of a cluster of this type industry in that particular area where you have two or three different companies? Similar kinds of work, but not the same?
To some extent, in regard to the tank business, there are other manufacturers in the St. Cloud area that manufacture tanks and pressure vessels. That's correct. In terms of the subsea and on-land work for the oil and gas industry, there's really nobody else that's doing that. And most of the tank work that we're doing is more specialized. It's lower volume, but higher technology requirements than what some of the others are doing.
Yeah. I spent 15 years at an oil refinery. No two tanks are the same.
That's right.
Thank you, Mr. Becker. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
I think we have, what was the next one on the
job creation?
Job creation, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Commissioner, if you could.
Mr. Chair, members, this is a really exciting time at DEED because we just launched the new Minnesota Job Creation Fund on January 1st and started taking applications. And this is a new effort that will join the Minnesota Investment Fund in attracting companies to the state, attracting expansions to happen here. In the fall of 2013, DEED staff held meetings about the Minnesota Job Creation Fund with over 100 government officials in Duluth, Rochester, St. Cloud, Bemidji, Mankato, Fergus Falls, Burnsville, and Brooklyn Park. These conversations helped us gather many great ideas about the proposed program rules and processes, as well as what communities around the state wanted to see from this program based on their interactions with businesses. And in January and early February, we held another 11 outreach meetings to promote the new program to communities that will be making use of it. These meetings were open to anyone, but primarily geared towards helping local economic developers understand how the program would work, how to apply, contract requirements, and other key information. Between our sessions in through Thief River Falls, Bemidji, Marshall, Fergus Falls, Wilmer, Little Falls, Cottage Grove, North St. Paul, North Mankato, Eden Prairie, and Maple Grove, we talked to over 200 attendees. Minnesota's Job Z program, while provided a value to the state, was not as accountable or transparent as it could have been, and divided the state into economic zones. And as you all decided, you leaned towards the Minnesota Job Creation Fund being a statewide program without zones, so that all parts of our state could be eligible for funds. The Minnesota Job Creation Fund is a statewide pay-for-performance program that will allow companies who are considering Minnesota for their expansions to receive financial incentives if and only if they have first created a specific number of jobs at certain salary levels, made a private investment, and gained local government support. The program is transparent because, unlike tax incentive programs where many records cannot be made public, the benefits each firm receives from the Minnesota Job Creation Fund will be readily available to the public. The Job Creation Awards provide grants for each actual, for a certain amount of jobs created. The amount of these grants depends on how many jobs the company is creating and how much they pay for each of these jobs. So on the slide, you can see for jobs paying over $26,000, there's a $1,000 rebate for each job. For jobs paying over $35,000 in salary, there's a $2,000 rebate for each job. And for jobs over $45,000 in salary, there's a $3,000 rebate. In addition, there's a capital investment rebate to support companies making major investments in facilities in Minnesota. Companies can receive up to 5% rebate for real property improvements in the Twin Cities Metro and up to 7.5% for real property improvements for businesses located in Greater Minnesota. Businesses in Greater Minnesota also benefit from lower job retention requirements, 75 jobs retained versus 200, and longer term agreements, a maximum of 7 years agreement versus five. So I just wanted to remind you of the differences. We do have
Greater Minnesota? That'd be an advantage to Greater Minnesota?
Yes.
So I could say it a third time.
And we do have part of the statute that allows for a mega project where over 200 jobs will be created. Those are eligible for a $2 million limit. But in most cases, the $1 million limit will hold. And we expect many awards will probably be less than that $1 million amount. It will, as you've seen, be based on the level of private investment the company is making, the number of jobs they're creating, and the salaries of those jobs will determine exactly what level of rebate they are they qualify for. So as we're looking at projects, the first question we ask is if it meets our basic eligibility requirements for the program. So it needs to create a minimum of 10 new jobs, a minimum of a $500,000 investment. We look at economic factors like employment, jobs and wages, capital investment, and the diversification of strengthening the economy, what industry the company is in. Business factors like the industry outlook, past business performance, sales outside of Minnesota, and other financing commitments that they may have, and how ready is this project. In addition, we look at the total return on investment and what support the company may receive from other units of government, cities or counties. This is a robust and a highly competitive process. We will be funding the projects that are putting forth the best return on investment. So how this works is we are signing a business subsidy agreement with the company that will outline the number of jobs, the wages of those jobs, the level of private investment. Those agreements can, as I mentioned, can go up to 5 or 7 years depending on the location. And then after that point, the business is a designated job creation fund company, and we begin tracking their job creation results. No money is paid to the company until those jobs are created and until that private investment is made. And at this point, Mr. Chair, I'd like to invite Mick Martin, Director of Economic Development for the City of Winona, to join us.
Please come on down. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the tape.
My name is Lucy McMartin, and I'm the Director of Economic Development for the City of Winona. Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, committee, for allowing me to speak today about the programs through DEED that have been so beneficial to us at the City of Winona. We work with many companies. Recently, we worked on a project with SciTech Engineered Materials. They are a composite company specializing in the aerospace industry, and we use the MIF program that was discussed to assist that company. And for each MIF dollar that was invested in the SciTech Engineered Materials project, 29 additional dollars were leveraged. 60 jobs or more will be created, and the wages are $18 to $25 per hour. Now, SciTech Engineered Materials is a global company, and we were competing with other locations in Oklahoma and their 20 other locations throughout North America. So having economic tools available to us to offer to companies who are looking all over the country and really all over the world are very important to us all over Minnesota. So SciTech Engineered Materials chose Winona, and we're very pleased that they did do that. In addition, we've been working with a company for 2 years on potentially doing a very large capital expansion in our city. We're sharing with them the new job creation fund, and we're hoping that very soon we can close a deal with them utilizing that program. It's a $4 million project, and the job creation fund would be a very good fit for that business.
Thank you, Ms. McNaughton. Appreciate that testimony. We have about 45 minutes left, and we have the Angel Investment Tax Credit report to go over. We have some other testifiers. So are there any questions on the job creation fund at the present time? I don't see any. I'm talking slow and trying to give them time to think. Okay. Ms. McMartin, thank you for coming. It's a beautiful drive, but it was a little cold, I would suspect, from Winona. I appreciate that, and I am looking forward to seeing some of the results. This is a good explanation of what the program is. Mm-hmm. The results will probably come next year, so mm-hmm. It'll be good to see. Thank you again. Thank you. Really appreciate it. And we have 1, 2, 3, 4 people who have asked to testify, so I know you didn't write the report, you probably just read the report, so if you'd like to speak a little bit to it, and then we will dig into it.
Okay, and just to finish on Job Creation Fund, an update, so far we've received 6 applications that we're working on, and we're in talks with many other companies beyond that. 4 of the applications are from Greater Minnesota, and 2 are from the Twin Cities, so we're already seeing a nice balance there. Angel Tax Credit Program. So the legislature passed and deed launched the Angel Tax Credit Program in July of 2010 to encourage private investments and technology startups in the state, particularly in software, medical devices, and biotechnology firms. Part of the goal of the program was to get money back into the hands of promising startup businesses, which frequently are rejected for conventional loans, because they are sometimes considered too great of a risk. For emerging businesses that desperately need cash, this program can be the program that continues that business. And I'd just like to take one step back. According to PricewaterhouseCooper, the state of Minnesota has seen a 45% decline in venture capital between 2008 and 2013 in Minnesota, compared to a 2% decline nationally. This is the one program that the state has to assist those early stage businesses across our state with financing. We, of course, provide technical assistance to small businesses. We have a competitive business grant program where we provide grants to organizations that support small businesses. But this is our one economic development tool for businesses at this stage in the life cycle. Since its inception, the program has made 767 business certifications, as well as certifying 2,242 investors. The demand for credits has far outstripped the amount available for them every year since the program began in 2010, and it's becoming increasingly in more demand. over three-fourths of the program's $12 million in angel tax credits for the calendar year of 2014 have already been allocated. We expect all of the angel tax credits will be exhausted in the next 2 weeks for this entire calendar year. As with all deed programs, we work to ensure that we are good stewards of taxpayer dollars. To become a qualified small business, businesses must be headquartered in Minnesota and have over half of their employees in Minnesota and pay high wages. Investors must hold the investment for at least 3 years. Deed monitors the businesses and the investors for compliance through required annual reporting. As required by statute, the Department of Revenue recently completed a study of this program and its return on investment. The study was conducted by the Economic Development Research Group. As I mentioned, the program has attracted $202 million in private investment since it started, and according to this study, it has also supported an average of 512 jobs at Minnesota startup firms from 2010 to 2012. That number is expected to climb to an average of 635 jobs from 2013 to 2020. The total amount of investments that qualified for the 25% tax credit over the past 3 years was $138.6 million. Of that, $71.7 million would not have happened without the tax credit being in place, the study determined through investor surveys. The report showed that the angel tax credit has been highly successful at stimulating investments in promising startups through the early stages of their development. Without the angel tax credit, nearly half, 48%, of surveyed investors would not have made their investment. Another 34% would not have made an investment as large as they did without the credit. 68% of investors reported that the program increased their awareness of investment opportunities in the state, including 29% who reported increased awareness of investment opportunities in greater Minnesota. And we've listed just a few of the names of companies that have benefited from this program. These include AgriStrand, based in Mankato, Minnesota. This company manufactures environmentally friendly products used in the construction trade. Card Cells, based in St. Paul, provides personalization and packaging services for prepaid and reloadable gift cards. Mill Creek Life Sciences, based in Rochester. This company produces commercial human protein-based cell cultures to develop cellular and biological therapies. Bioplastic Solutions, based in Blooming Prairie, manufactures a variety of bio-based and biocomposite products. And Recombinetics, based in St. Paul, works to accelerate livestock genetic research for biomedicine and agriculture. This is a program where we do see more investment happening in the metro area compared to some of our other programs, and I want to make a note of that. We do think that part of the reason for this is that they're at this early stage in a business life cycle. In this entrepreneurial community, we happen to see more entrepreneurs in urban metropolitan areas of our state. So that's one reason why this is happening. But we are taking great strides to reach out across the state and make sure that companies and investors are aware of this resource. And with us today, we have Gary Lowenthal, who is the CFO of Fission Holdings, based out of Minneapolis. The business has participated in this program since 2011 and has raised over $1 million. It's a software company. I'd like to invite Mr. Lowenthal to join us.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Lowenthal. Please identify yourself for the tape.
My name is Gary Lowenthal. I'm the founder and CFO of Fission Holdings Incorporated.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee, commissioner. My pleasure. A little bit about Fission Holdings. We started 3 years ago. We're a marketing software company. We started out with three employees, and it was hard to get angel investment capital here in Minnesota. My background is really mergers and acquisitions, so I'm thinking I'm starting up a company with a friend, And at the end of the day, we ended up creating a software company with $400,000 in revenue. And then I learned about the Angel Tax Credit Program. And a lot of my centers of influence are investors outside of Minnesota. When I indicated that we had a new program, that 25 cents per dollar could be help defray the risk, if you will, of the investment, we ended up raising a little over $1.2 million. And we went from $400,000 to about $1 million. We're on track to about $5 million this year and $12 million next year, which is interesting. But with the angel tax credit, the investment from the angel investors, we ended up getting, it allowed us to create four jobs. Doesn't sound like much, but those jobs included salespeople that brought in $21 million of sales pipeline. We also allowed us to hire real quality developers. It's really hard to get chief software architects. We had to get people to actually move to Minnesota. And they actually loved to ski, which made it a lot easier. And now we're at the point where we went from literally having two enterprise clients to now we have 125,000 enterprise clients in 31 countries. And we're really big in hospitality, insurance services, financial services, and franchising. And the sky's the limit. Now I have venture capital funds calling us. I feel lucky, of course. I don't leave until the check clears the bank. But interesting enough, I have a whole number of folks that are interested in doing another round with us until I learned from Mr. Nelson that the funds will be probably depleted here within 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's good news, bad news. Good news that there's a lot of interested parties. So it's a lot more than, it's actually a lot more than creating jobs. It's the fact that we're getting a little Minnesota company is getting international attention, and now they're calling us, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm. And you're planning on staying here, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm really active in the Boy Scouts, and my son does want to leave. No, it's great here. I was born here.
There's a Director Goldberg. Is this a question for Mr. Lowenthal or is on the program itself?
I'll wait.
Okay.
Mr. Lowenthal.
Representative Ward.
Mr. Lowenthal, you mentioned that you started with three, you and your two other folks or something, started with three people?
Correct.
How many employees do you have now?
We have 11 employees right now, but we outsource a lot of our development because we can't bring it in-house yet, if you will. We outsource all of our data center is outsourced, and the data center has about 17 people working on our behalf right now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Please continue, Commissioner, and hopefully you'll stick around, Mr. Lowenthal, in case there's another question for you.
Absolutely.
So as I mentioned, we have seen more activity in the Twin Cities metro area than we have in greater Minnesota with this program, and I wanted to provide for you the exact numbers on how many businesses have been certified and how many of those businesses have been invested in. So while we are seeing much more activity in the metro, there's still about an even amount of the applications we're receiving compared to those that are receiving investments. In the Twin Cities versus greater Minnesota. I'd also like to highlight that we believe many of these businesses, while they start potentially in the Twin Cities metro, could move out to greater Minnesota at different parts of their business life cycle as they grow and need larger facilities potentially. So we still consider this an investment in the entire state. And this program, you know, you already heard about Minnesota Investment Fund and the Minnesota Job Creation Fund, which are targeting the mid to large size companies, large expansions. Those are the expansions that happen to hit the headlines of the front page of the newspaper. This program is just as important in providing, attracting investors towards startups throughout the state, mm-hmm. and providing that capital at a very key moment in their business life cycle. This is about helping to support entrepreneurs and small businesses across our state so that they can grow to become the next 3M or Medtronic that we have here in their state. And of course, that takes time. So we are sharing with you the results that we have from this program today. As a reminder, it started in 2010, and as you heard from Mr. Lowenthal, that his business is rapidly growing, but it will take some more time before he becomes the next 3M or Medtronic, right? So funding is the lifeblood of startup businesses at this early stage in their development. And we think that this is a very key program and an important one for us to continue investing in for the state. And I'd just like to remind you that this is up for sunset in 2014, so we would need to take action this year if we would like to see this continue.
Thank you, Commissioner. We have a couple other testifiers, Mr. John Dennison and Sam Joy. I hope I pronounced both names correctly.
Sam Joy.
And I think we're going to scratch Mr. Carnival.
Thank you very much. So my name is John Dennison. I'm the CEO and co-founder of OrthoCore Medical. We happen to be the first company that was certified into the Angel Tax Credit back in 2009. We've raised $5.5 million, four of, which have gone through the Angel Tax Credit. We have 60, almost 70 investors now in OrthoCore. About 30 of them have gone through the credit. We have investors as diverse as the Rochester Economic Development Initiative, Southern Minnesota Initiative Foundation, multiple angel funds everywhere from California to Montana to Chicago to New York. Back to the commissioner's comment about venture capital, that's my background is in venture capital, and for an early stage medical device company, there's literally no venture capital in Minnesota, and so OrthoCore was founded with a Mayo Clinic idea. We hired a University of Minnesota class of PhD and MBA students to help vet our technology. And we've developed a non-invasive device. We actually have a commercialized product. You can see that that basically comes to our patients. Orthopedic surgeons prescribe the product. And it puts in an RF field into the patient's knee combined with heat. Now just knee, but eventually ankle, lower back, wrist, and elbow. And it's FDA approved at the highest level as a class 3 device. So that was a huge hurdle for us for pain, swelling, and pain associated with arthritis. So anyone who has knee pain, either arthritic pain or post-surgically, we can help. We have 10 employees at this point, but we had a warehouse in Winona at one point, and in Eagan. We obviously used different law firms, accounting firms. We have reps throughout the country, including here in Minnesota. We work with the Johnson & Johnson DePue MyTech rep group that's a local distributor. So we've been very involved with Minnesota and have been very fortunate to have the Minnesota Angel Tax Credit help us propel. This is a company that, with reimbursement, which is where we're at now, so we're done with IP and FDA and all those hurdles that everyone complains about. With reimbursement, this is probably $250 million product line annually. So we're very thankful to what I would consider is you as investors in the company. We've gone through the tax credit 3 times. It's been essential. I'm raising money now. It's more difficult because we raised too much money. Once you raise $4 million, you're not allowed to use the tax credit any longer. And it's a huge benefit in a time that there's lots of obstacles, that Obamacare
we're not going to have any questions on Obamacare at all.
What?
I will cut you off.
All right, been sure.
It's a difficult time. It's a difficult time to have reimbursement. Obviously, there's extra taxes on our industry, that sort of thing. So I just wanted to thank you very much. I'm just going to pass around a little literature for fun, but I'll be available for any questions, so thank you.
You need to press that box around it.
Okay.
Yeah,
get it
over to Ward. Over to Ward. No. He's got two new
knees.
I get that.
My predecessor probably wants one.
I'll also just share that we won the Minnesota Cup in our division,
right.
The Techni Awards, the Minnesota High Tech Award. Oh. We've been on the Dr. Oz Show. We were featured on WCCO. So it's been a fun company where we can really help Minnesotans. So we're prescribed at TCO and TRIA and all the different health centers here. So. Again, thank you, and I'll be available for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Dennison. Now, Sam Joy wanted to say a few words. Enthusiasm was there.
Few words.
Well, if you allow me to introduce
you.
We're asked to bring in both as a company and our investors and our, who represents our investor group. So, Sam.
Thank you. Oh, well, thank you for coming to the committee today.
I'm delighted to be here.
And please identify yourself for the tape, though.
Sam Joy.
Mr. Joy.
Retired. I'm simply retired. I'm freezing to death, too. Why am I here? Got involved. I've started 25 different companies from time to time, one way or another, trying to model it after the Minnesota Cooperation Office, Ted Johnson, where he thought that the way to create jobs was to start new companies. And I liked the idea, and I liked Ted so much that I ended up getting a securities license. I ended up raising money for, I have no idea how much I've raised money for companies since 1981 or 82. And just recently retired. Besides this being a good thing to do, I think that the angel tax credit is the perfect marriage of private and public cooperation. I just think it's there's no question. There's so many people that would not have they wouldn't have been interested in a secondary investment. But there's no question some people put in hundreds of thousands of dollars simply because they were getting an investment tax credit, because of course they believed in the product. And John Dinesen is one of the most amazing managers we've ever had. There's no surprises with John. You always get a straight story. He deals fairly with everyone. He's got a product here that everyone in this room should know about. I've never seen anything that could control pain the way this can. And my body is just a mess of operations and injuries and things like that. I don't think I would even be here. I don't think I'd be sitting here right now if it wasn't for that brace that we've developed. We've got probably almost every significant orthopedic company in the world talking to us about acquiring us. Mm-hmm. If we can somehow get the approval for Medicare. If you don't have coverage, there's nothing you can do. And the medical, there's some complications in the United States at the moment. So, it's a great program. I'm delighted to be here. And any questions?
Yes, and I will open it up for questions for people. I think Representative Leidiger had his hand up first, and then...
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yep.
Mr. Joy, it's so rare that we're able to hear from people like you who invest in the state, invest in private companies, and get them up and running. This issue on... angel tax credit is really, it's a bipartisan issue. Both sides of the aisle, we pretty much agree on this. You know, sometimes the amounts are a little bit different, but I think it's something that we agree on. A lot of these programs we like. But since you're here, I want to ask a question. You said, I heard you say that... this is the way to create jobs, investing in new companies. I heard you say that, and I would also like to get a comment from you about the many existing companies that we have in this state, the Fortune 500s, there's 21 of them or something that reside within the Beltway. And how do you think we get those companies to continually invest back into Minnesota? I from what I hear, there's a very little reinvestment in this state from those companies in the last 10-15 years.
So, Mr. Joy,
Well, this doesn't may not answer your question exactly, but one of the early companies was a company called it's been too many companies Serving Software. I think we started out working with the hospitals around here and computerizing or how equipment was used, and it just smoothed out the operations for the operating rooms of each of the companies that we've dealt with. It ended up being we invested about $1.5 million in that, and we ended up selling the company out for about $400 and some million. It was a very good return, which, and people thought that I'd had something to do with it, so I ended up being in this business. When they wanted to grow beyond that point, they were then usually, if you were bought by somebody else, if you were really successful, usually some large company, HBO in this case, will come along and pick you up. And then you ended up creating thousands of jobs, many thousands. It was the most successful thing that HBO had ever been involved with. So I don't think that answers exactly back in Minnesota, but it started out here, and what's the company? Search America. We raised $750,000. It sold out for $93 million. Very good, but now that's been purchased by Experian, and I don't know if they're going to expand more in Minnesota. We've got the employees we need here to do the job. But
Mr. Joy, I think you've answered his question, and we've got a bunch of other questioners right here, so I'm going to move on to Representative Albright.
Thank you, and I appreciate it. And of course, the point I wanted to see, what are we doing wrong in Minnesota when it comes to keeping these companies here? And I appreciate
wrong.
You addressing some of that.
Good stuff. Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, this first question probably could be co-opted by the Commissioner as well as Mr. Joy. But as we look at organizations that want to move here or expand here and are in a competitive situation with other states, I guess I'm wondering from either exit interviews that you might have with them if we lose the proposal or if we win it, I'm just wondering if we've asked the invitees, the organizations, what are the questions that they have on their list, their RFP, if you will. What's most important to them in terms of a economic climate in a state that induces them to want to move or locate or expand here? I know you can share the dais there.
I think that should be asked of somebody who's had more experience with companies.
We'll go with the commissioner here.
Mr. Chair, Representative, we know that what we're discussing today are three key economic development tools that we have at the state level to do this work. It's not just about these three tools as we're recruiting companies to the state. We touched on transportation networks earlier in the conversation. That absolutely is a key part of the equation. Our education system is absolutely essential for companies moving to the state, as well as our productive workforce. It takes all of those pieces coming together for a company to decide that Minnesota is the right place for them to be locating their business, and of course for a company to decide that Minnesota is the right place for them to be locating their business, and of course there's no similar story. Every company has specific needs that they are looking for, whether it's a certain size facility, a certain type of equipment, a certain skill set that they need from their employees. So that's why the work that we do in our business development division is so important every day, because we're having those conversations with businesses, getting right to the heart of what are their needs to grow their business. Are there any barriers or challenges that they have that we can be of assistance of, or that we can ask our partners at the University of Minnesota or community and technical colleges, or whoever that right partner is, to provide assistance. One piece that I would like to highlight that we've gotten underway is the Minnesota Business First Stop, where 9 agencies across state government are participating in that effort. We have a meeting every other week where companies can come in, sit down at a table with all 9 agencies sitting at the table in one time. We take on projects that what we consider are complex economic development projects, where they need to talk to more than one state agency, they have more than one need, and we make sure that they're receiving excellent customer service. So no one, you know, situation is alike. They all have individual needs and things that they are seeking, but ultimately it comes down to transportation networks, education, economic development incentives, and frankly coordination among the state, among other businesses, the supply chain that exists in the state, and making sure that we are facilitating that movement and making that as easy as possible for the business.
Is there a follow-up, Mr. Representative Albright?
Yes, sir. Thank you. You know, in speaking in light of barriers, and there's been much talk of some taxes that were passed in the last session, business to business and otherwise. Have you seen any adverse effects or comments made by potential suitors for businesses in the state of Minnesota that have spoken are outspoken in light of the new taxation structure that businesses are being weighed down with?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, Representative, I have talked with companies on the B2B taxes that have some real concerns about those taxes. These are companies that are based here in Minnesota are the ones that I've talked with. I have not talked with any companies out of state where that has been a challenge or an issue in attracting them here. But I have been, I'm very well aware that there are some real challenges with the B2B taxes, and companies have shared that feedback with me.
It's good that your boss wants to get rid of them, right? One more,
and I'm gonna
so that most of the rest of us up here want to get rid of most of them anyhow. So go right ahead, Representative Albright.
It's a stem. We talk about workforce development, and we talked about the Angel Investment Tax Credit Program, and I would share the sentiments from my peers that, you know, it is a nonpartisan issue. We all want to create jobs in the state, and they come by way of people that are entrepreneurial in nature, and that in order to create more wealth for themselves need help, and so they employ others that come alongside them and assist in that overall succession. But to the point of your one of three on the sort of trifecta, the workforce development, and I've heard it over and over from the testimony. I'm just wondering what coordination, as you said, are we implementing, and how can this committee or others address or might address the jobs that aren't even known 20 and 30 years from now, to the point of the job and the businesses that were created by Mr. Joy. No one envisioned some of these, as OrthoCore was an example. It's my opinion that we're woefully behind the curve in addressing the issues of looking not just where the jobs are going to be 4 and 5 years from now, but where they're going to be 20 and 30 years from now. And I'm wondering if you have any coordination with new president over the University of Minnesota, as well as business leadership in terms of funding, where the vision is that they have. President Kaler has made some great strides in terms of unleashing the entrepreneurial power with the invention release for graduate students. And I'm just wondering if you can expand on workforce development, how it comes down the line, not from higher ed, but then into high school and even in the middle school, in terms of energizing the workforce of tomorrow.
Commissioner, we've got 20 minutes left. We were going to try. I was hoping to address the Angel Investment Tax Credit report. It seems that we've gotten off track. But if you want to answer this question relatively briefly, I'm next. Then Representative Uglum, Babian, and Leidiger, who has promised a 30-second, which I don't believe will happen, but I'm going to hold them to it. So if you would like to answer the Representative Albright's question.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, Representative, yes, Chancellor Rosenstone and I talk frequently and work together very closely. We both sit on the Governor's Workforce Development Council, where a lot of those conversations are taking place among not just state government, but businesses and industries are at the table as well. And there's a huge focus at the moment. ITASCA project is one way in which I'm involved in this work, but on workforce alignment. So how do we get our K-12 system to our higher education system, to our business community, connected with projecting what are the skills that will be needed down the line, and make sure that our training system, our K-12 and higher ed, is preparing students for those jobs that will be in demand in the future. And it is one of the greatest challenges that we face. With our baby boomer generation retiring, we'll have a workforce gap, and training will become even more important. So I'd love to continue talking with you about that.
Yes, and now it's kind of my turn here. I'd like to know if anyone's read this Angel Investment Tax Credit report. One, two. I've tabbed mine, and I'm just because we're only going to go 5 minutes over, so we'll go to 2:05 because we're supposed to be out of here at. Two. I do want you to, this is in your packet. This is a list of the counties that have been, angel investment tax credits have been awarded in. There's one county with 8 pages. There's one county with a page and a quarter. And then the rest of them go down relatively quickly. And I have asked Deed to provide me a map with the addresses, not the actual addresses, but pointed out, and I have looked up a few of them, and there is this arc from Eden Prairie to Maple Grove, and then there's this little circle around the U of M. Very frustrating, very unlike what this was supposed to be about. This was a statewide program, and I want everyone in this committee, I want everyone in this room, and I wish there was a newspaper person here, because I beat the living daylights out of the investors who, whenever I talk to them, telling them that this is a statewide program that needs to be addressed. And they refuse to get in their car and drive beyond the 694, 494 loop. Or maybe just beyond it, because it's Eden Prairie to Maple Grove. A couple other things that are in this report that people should understand or at least look at. There's a significant amount of people using this angel investment credit who happen to be relatives of the owners of the companies. Almost 42%. What that means is they're taking their wife or their husband or their son or their daughter and handing them $25,000 or $100,000 and then invest in my company. So they get a $25,000 rollback. And they can do that up to $100,000. I should put on my glasses again, but the ROI, which I hate.
Hey. Well, that's a good term.
Well, it can be whatever the accountant wants it to be. And at this point, 61 cents return on the dollar. I'm going to quickly go to a couple more and then I'll be done here. Now, I know we all have other things to do. In the report, minority-owned businesses receive 1% of the total qualified investments made through the program. In qualified investments made by investors responding to the survey, women-owned businesses receive 2% of the total of all investments and 4% of investments made by the respondents. Generally speaking, however, I'm skipping along here, the pattern of survey response paints a very accurate picture of the geographic dispersion and demographic minority-owned, women-owned industry affiliation for the Angel Tax Credit. This has been a great success for Western Hennepin County. This has not been a success for the rest of the state. Commissioner, if you'd like, I'll give you the closing response on this. Mm-hmm. You got 4 minutes. But I think you understand how frustrated I am. Because for those of you who don't know, I was one of the architects of this. And I blood, sweat, and tears to get this through with the promise from these VCs that they would do a diligent job of looking the state over, and they have failed that miserably. And I don't have any reason, unless they can come and prove to me why we should continue this particular program. Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, members, if I could, I would like to share a piece of information that Mr. Joy just shared with me, that 61 cents on the dollar is actually a very good return on investment for venture capital.
For the time that it's been open, it expands geometrically once you're successful.
I'd like to go back to reminding the committee that this is the one program that we have in place at DEED that is assisting entrepreneurs, small businesses in a very critical point in their business life cycle, and I would urge you to continue funding this program, and would urge you to continue funding, increasing the funding for this program because of the demand that we're seeing across the state. I think that a major part of what we need to remain focused on in building our economy is supporting entrepreneurs and small business growth, and this program has only been around since 2010. We have done a full review of the program so that you can have all of that information in front of you and know exactly how it's been performing. I think we should discuss the concerns that the chair has brought up and try to brainstorm if there are ways to encourage this program to expand to other geographic parts of the state. I have a few ideas that at the right moment we can discuss, Mr. Chair. But would strongly encourage you to continue funding this program. We've seen fantastic success, and if I may, I spoke at the collaborative event earlier this year, which is a convening of entrepreneurs and investors, and spoke on a panel, and there were numerous hands raised in that room saying, we need this to continue. Business owners, investors saying, this is an essential tool. And I'd also like to just compliment our business and community development team and Jeff Nelson, who's the coordinator of this program, because I was hearing from businesses that this is an extremely well-run program, an efficient program. They heard back from DEED within a four-day period was one example that I received at that convening. So I think this is being administered very well. I think that the report has brought forth some challenges that the chair has highlighted, and I look forward to discussing with you how we can address some of those challenges and hope that you will continue this program.
Well, this might be more of an op-ed in response to your comments. I think it's a teachable moment from a perspective of looking at what the benefits are for a program that really in and of itself is venture capital. It's just provided by the state. From an investment perspective, which is my day job, if you take a look at the ROI on this of 60 cents, that's basically like hitting the target bullseye 6 times out of 10. When you take a look at it from that standpoint, and as Dr. Joy, you just turned young, would attest to, a venture capital firm, when they look at it, it's not just about hitting the target, but what is the money they have at risk? Venture capital is nothing ventured, nothing gained. When you're hitting the target 6 times out of 10, that's a pretty good batting average. I think most people in the Minnesota, that favor the Minnesota Twins would like 600, point hitters. But, to your point, the function of clustering in the western Hennepin area, I think that's also conducive to, and we talked about higher ed, and also there is a bit of a nepotism with these companies that create and spawn other organizations that are clustered around one another. They feed off of each other's technology. They create almost little study groups that foster innovation and progress on their ideas by going to coffee shops. And so, to the extent that we create one in Moorhead, or as an example, wealth chases after future wealth. And if you take a look at, dare I say, the Polymet program or new mining in northern Minnesota, the amount of opportunity for wealth that might be created up there and the spawning of new technologies and new opportunities in startup organizations as it would pertain to the wealth that's created by mining opportunities on the range. I can only imagine what my associate to my right might consider in terms of opportunities for a program such as the Angel Tax Credit in his district in light of what that opportunity might prevail for his constituents. And I'll just leave it at that.
And members, we have an Angel Investment Credit bill that is coming to the committee, so we'll have this for a little bit, another conversation on this particular one.
John Dinesen, just real quickly, just to address your concerns a bit, you know, the ones regarding family and friends, you know, most when you start off a company like this, nobody else is crazy enough to invest. So my younger brother's an investor, my aunt's an investor, my dad's an investor in that first round. As far as the importance of on the job side, business churn is really important. Minnesota ranks one of the lowest in the country in business churn. We're very protective and we're Scandinavian and we love to hold on to our businesses. This type of program, it's okay to grow companies to 100 people and then have spin-offs and that sort of thing, and that's what this really encourages. And finally, there are clusters, right? If manufacturing, you're going to find in Owatonna and St. Cloud, there's a medical device cluster on the west side of town. That can grow, that can expand, but clusters happen in business. And that's just a natural part. So, again, I think for Minnesota's economy, and once again with our company, I have two guys from MIT. They're masters and PhDs in MIT who have moved to Minnesota. One of them's left my company. He's starting a new company. He's going to live here for the rest of his life. And it's important to attract these high wage jobs for a vibrant economy and young people as well. They go where these types of companies are. So, thank you. I appreciate it.
And I think everyone knows. And I've been a big supporter of this. I hope we can fix it, because right now it seems that it's not working as it probably should. And with that, well, we'll have that argument, Tony. With that, we stand adjourned.